You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey lovers, I'm Wyo Lee, and welcome to Sex at Work, a podcast of sex-related work stories from brands and humans who share my mission to make the world a sexier place. Today's guest I found late one night, scrolling in the name of research, and I found his online presence so delightful. I feel like it overlaps with Mission 69 so much to make the world a more loving place in all the ways, and this episode is so fun, it's so full of learnings, and while sponsorship was not part of any of our pre-podcast conversations, Mitch is super generous and is in support of our future Mission 69 Playship Road Trip and is offering you lovely listeners 30% off at HelloCake.com with the code SEXATWORK, and for the next month is putting 10% of those sales towards the creation of our future Playship. Our guest today is Mitch Orcus, co-founder and chief marketing officer of Cake, which you can find at HelloCake.com or just at HelloCake on TikTok or Instagram. They make a lot of cool stuff. Welcome, Mitch.
Hi, thank you so much. I am nervous but excited.
Yay! Okay. Don't you think nervous and excited is how we feel a lot of times before we're about to have sex with a new person or any person sometimes? But like for me, especially new people.
100%. And I feel like that is a fun reason why I got into this, but we'll get into all of that, I'm sure.
Exactly what I was thinking. Okay, so first, can you start off by telling us, in your line of work, how, including your whole brand, but or just your own personal work self, how do you understand the definition of the word sexy?
I think of sexy as self-confidence. I feel like if you know and are comfortable with who you are or trying to figure it out and kind of embrace that, that's the most sexy thing. And it's kind of morphed into my definition behind what is sexy.
I love it. And then do you have a different idea of like in your personal life sexy versus work life sexy, or is it kind of just overlappy for you?
I think it's different because I think I share a lot of my personal details because it's a sex company.
Yeah.
So I think in my personal life, and I identify as a gay man, like I have very specific tastes, likes, turns on, preferences. In my professional life with Cake, the products we make by definition are for different types of anatomy. So I have to constantly put my head into, well, what is sexy to this person? What is sexy to this person? What is sexy to this person? So yes, very much. I have to morph into other people's brains to figure out what they like. Luckily, our Cake community shares a ton of information, tells us, and then that makes my job really easy. We just have to make the things that those people like.
Awesome.
Does that make sense?
Totally. Yeah. And I can relate to that. And also, wouldn't it be a great sexy world if all of us got in the habit of trying to think about other people's sexy experiences? Like, I think that would solve a lot of the, I don't want to say issues, but the scary, nervous, crinkly parts of like being with partners.
I'm currently thinking a lot about when people are exploring their sexuality, a lot of it is focused on self and what makes me personally feel good. And my brain has been there too. And now I'm getting into how can I focus my energy on making my partner, my husband, feel good?
Yeah.
And it is a full on mind shift.
Totally.
And it's a different way to explore, but it's fantastic. So yes, I agree. If we can all embrace someone else's point of view and go there, I think we can learn a lot about ourselves and our partners.
Absolutely. I do feel like I had to learn about myself first before I could have the bandwidth to be like, okay, now you. And I think that that's maybe an experience many people can relate to.
I think it's the right way to do it too. And it was my experience. I think just now I'm in my mid-30s. I'm just now starting to realize, oh, I have to take care of my partner as much or more than myself, which is horribly selfish of me, but I was there for a while and I learned a lot about myself and it was fun.
Totally. Okay, so can you actually just tell us what led you to this line of work and like what is your work like? Tell us your sex story of work, your sex work story, or you know what I mean.
Sure. I was thinking that you would ask me this question, and we have the story that's out there in the public domain because it's the truth, but I think it actually happened a lot earlier than that.
Yeah.
So what's out there in the public domain is I was running strategy at a branding agency that did all these direct consumer cool companies. And my co-founder Hunter came in. I'm gay. He's straight. I'm older. He's younger. I'm married. He's not. Kind of who we are and how we like to play. Couldn't be more different. But the fact was that neither he or I thought there was a brand out there that spoke to either one of us. So we started asking our friends kind of what they use. Do they like it? Do they not? And we realized that there was a big missing kind of everyday brand that spoke to all different types of people, no matter who you are. Yep. If I like to play, you can have fun. That is the truth. I was thinking about this question, and when I was probably 23 or 24, I was on a rooftop in New York City, and I was the only gay person there. Mm. And I think I was the only single person there.
Oof.
And I was sitting there, and I was kind of like just drinking a beer, and I was just sitting at a table, not super engaging. And then one by one, kind of couples would rotate in and inevitably start asking me questions about my sex life, and then they were curious. And I think there's this kind of gay guru thing that people think gay people know more about sex, which I don't, but I was fascinated at how much people would share with me and how desperate people were to like try new things. Yeah. And they just need the permission to do that.
Yeah,
I think that's a theme that stayed with me, where I often end up talking to strangers mm-hmm. about their sex lives mm-hmm. rather early on. And then somehow I got hooked up with my co-founder and we figured out, oh, we can make products to answer these needs. Yeah. So that is my sex story, along with the fact that I got to have a lot of fun sex along the way and not fun sex.
Well, first I want to ask you, why do people start talking to you about sex? Do you know? Do you have any ideas? Because it happens to me too, long before I had a sex podcast.
So I was listening to your podcast kind of in preparation for this. Mm-hmm. And then I saw you. And I think there's a kindness or approachability that instantly puts people's shoulders down. Mm. And I don't know if it's just visual, it's audio, I don't know what it is, but there's just like, I moved to California, now I say the word aura. There's something about you that makes you easy to talk to. I think that I have a little bit of that, where I don't care who the fuck you are, how you get down, what you want to do, how kink you are, don't care. What I do care about is having good conversations and having fun.
Yeah.
So I think there's something that unites, I'm guessing, the both of us in that. And then people sense that and it quickly turns into really detailed stories and desires.
Yeah. And just so our listeners know, I discovered Mitch on TikTok scrolling late one night, and it is part of the reason, like, looking at you, I was like, oh, he seems so nice. Oh, he's doing the work like I believe in, and I want to talk to him. And then I was like, wait a second, I am about to start this new podcast to talk to other people who have these like similar sexy missions. And the thing that I love about Cake so much is that they talk about wanting to make sex fun and approachable. And it's not that I'm like, oh, you have to have fun all the time. Like, it can be whatever, you know. Fun is so many different things. So I do think that you do have that approachability. And I think that it comes through in the brand. And so I'd love to hear from you. How do you feel Cake is sexy? And then, like, how is your work maybe less sexy than people might think? Start with the less sexy, and then we'll work our way through to the sexier parts.
So there is two ways, and I don't know about entrepreneurship, so I'm going to talk in very simple speak, and I apologize for people that are more advanced than I am. But when you become an entrepreneur, there's kind of two paths. One of them is figure out how to make something and sell it mm-hmm. for more than you made it. And then take that money back and you make something else and you sell it. And it's a bootstrapped way. You self-fund it and you get going that way.
Yeah.
That's what most small businesses in the world are. The other way is you go down the investment route. So you go talk to venture capitalists. You say, give me your money. I promise I'll make it back to you tenfold.
Yeah.
I was warned 100 times that if you go down the investor path, that is very intense. And there are very real goals and metrics and numbers you have to hit. And you will work tirelessly to hit those. It's like, whatever, let's do it. That is true.
Okay.
So I think that the fun of the brand, I protect, I think is sacred. And I want the world and consumers to see that. The business side is pretty intense. So the numbers, the metrics, the reporting, we have had to fight and plead with every Facebook, Snapchat, TikTok, every platform out there to let us get on there. It is a stressful, challenging world. I think that's why so few new sex brands pop up and crush it. Like, they struggle because it's hard to get the word out there.
Yeah.
But it's something that I also know I don't think I have a choice in the matter. I have to do it. Like, I think people are so stressed out and anxious, and like COVID and the world's just not very fun at the moment. So if like this can bring people pleasure and fun, it's all I care about, like, for the foreseeable future. I'm like, I'm just going to help people be happy, even if it's just for like 5 minutes out of the day.
Beautiful. And I also just want to highlight and celebrate a sex brand getting investor money is a big deal.
Yeah.
In my experience trying to get anything funded so far and trying to not get kicked off of platforms when I don't do things that I think are very, I'm not doing erotic stuff, I'm not doing sex work stuff. I sometimes am explicit, but it's very like respectful and approachable, and I struggle with that. So I'm just like celebrating any brand that is sex related and takes people's money. And we're seeing more of it now. I'm reading the articles that are like, sex tech is up and coming.
I had a conversation. I hope this person doesn't mind that I'm bringing her in this conversation. But I talked to Alex at Dame when we first started. I said, it'd be nice to get to know you. She called me and she said, everyone in sex is fighting the good fight. Like, I will help you no matter how much we compete someday, like, we will help each other. When I saw her funding, I guess I was one of the first three people to email her, mm-hmm. being like, fuck yes, like, you are doing it, like, it is happening. And then the tides are turning, and I'm happy to see that. I do think that with Cake, we were calculated about how we did it. We knew we couldn't launch with the sex toy. We knew that that'd be really hard to get funded. We also knew that the sex aisle was the last aisle in retail that had not been reinvented by a direct consumer brand.
Yeah.
Said, what's the safest possible route in to reinventing that aisle that is also not going to make investors say, oh no, I can't possibly invest in that. So this idea of specialty lubricants was born out of that idea, because one, I'm gay and I have to use lube. Mm-hmm. So like, that was one piece of it. Two, we knew that investors would be more interested in it. And three, lubricant is actually classified as a FDA registered medical device because it goes with condoms.
Okay.
So then you can use that to get onto Facebook and TikTok and Snapchat and get on those platforms.
Got it. Okay. And I will just say, I want to shout out the brilliance of Cake is that it has a subscribe and save option for lube, which, like, I'm always the person that's like, oh, can you get the lube? Oh, fuck, we're out. Oh, I guess I can't have butt sex tonight. Like, you know. I mean, I'll find a way, but...
Yeah, I think that we've used a lot of traditional... I guess not traditional, because D2C is still... Direct-to-consumer businesses are still new. But we most often do not look at other sex brands when we are looking for inspiration on our website, on the business model, on trying to increase revenue. We often are looking at skincare, cosmetics, deodorant brands, shaving brands. A lot of that thinking gets brought into kind of sex. And I think that's what's making it become so popular. Like, our packaging is designed to look more like skincare than it is to look like a traditional kind of older school sex brand.
Yeah, it's elegant, it's cute, it's fun. And I actually, the reason that I ask the question, like, what's your definition of sexy, is because I've talked to several hundred people about their sex lives in great detail at this point. And when people are like describing things that are sexy, it usually has to do with confidence and a feeling of trust and safety. Never has anyone ever been like, oh, it's like when bow chicka wow wow music plays and like really low cleavage and a lot of makeup and like low lighting. Nobody has ever been like, that's my definition, but that's how it gets sold to us so often. And I'm like, well, I don't have sex in those circumstances. And like, in fact, those circumstances, I'm in them so rarely, and like, I probably would have a seedy vibe rather than like an excitement, fun, enthusiastic vibe. So I just feel like, I think what drew me to Cake is just seeing where I'm like, that's me. That's me. It's clean. It's simple. It's fun. I could have that on my bedside table.
I really appreciate you saying that. It could be easy to slip into get a naked hot guy with abs to jerk off on camera and put it on a gay porn website.
Totally.
And that's like our marketing plan. That once every 2 months, that comes up in our marketing team where it's like, are we doing porn now? And I'm like, no, we're not going to do porn right now. We're going to continue to tell people that if they want to pleasure themselves and their partners, like, we're here for you. We'll spend a ton of time and energy making the best products we possibly can. Then we'll keep improving those products based on your feedback. So it's a hard kind of line to walk.
Yeah. Will you talk now about the sexy parts of your job and the things you like the best?
Yes. I masturbate a lot more.
Amazing.
So Cake is carried in Walmart nationally, and there's cool, new exciting fun things that are happening with other retailers.
Yay.
Which we can't talk about yet, but okay. Yay. Solo play, like masturbation, isn't acknowledged in the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a self-play cream. It's a masturbation cream.
Yeah.
And we're the first people to bring that into mainstream America and put on the shelves of retail locations.
Awesome.
To me, that is like, no shit. Of course it should be on the shelves. People are using Lubriderm and whatnot. So to me, it's obvious. To retailers, it's oh my gosh, are we really going to carry this? We can take a bet on this.
Whoa.
So there is a world of masturbation that I think is going to explode into mainstream America. Because of that, we have tons of, I don't know if you can see my over here.
Amazing.
It's just filled with sex toys and products. And now I have very honest conversations with my husband. I'm like, oh, I have to go do product testing. And so product testing is fantastic. And that is a very good part of my job. The other part that, I don't know if the right word is sexy, but people reaching out to us and wanting to collaborate. We had an artist reach out. They just make incredible sexy drawings. And we're trying to get them commissioned and have cake products in them.
Oh my
God. So there's collaborations where I'm like, oh, this is fantastic. And then I will kind of peek behind the curtain if they have OnlyFans pages and whatnot, where I will see that world. Where I'm like, oh, this is fantastic. So I'd say those are the very good parts and fun parts about the job.
That is super amazing. And I also just feel like, well, for me, the line, my own creativity exploded when I started having great sex. Like when I checked into my body in that way and like everything felt connected, that's when I was like, oh, now I paint, now I write, now I do all these things. And so I really love hearing that you are collaborating with creators, because sex is, in my opinion, the most creative act. And I think it can fuel so much. And that's why I think this mission is important.
I love that idea. Our cake community, we try to always find new ways to explain experiences that they can try in the bedroom. So eventually I just said, why don't we just ask people what they want? And we said, does anyone have an underwear fetish? We had 450 people respond in detail about how to get into underwear fetishes. Whoa. Within, I think, 2 hours.
Whoa.
So I do agree that tapping into the community and tapping into people that are enjoying themselves and their creativity and then sharing that out, if I can turn that into a cycle where I can just keep sharing learnings with everyone, much like you do with your podcast, that'd be fantastic.
Beautiful. Where does your community live, by the way, in case anyone wants to go join it or be a part of it?
So I'm going to two-part answer.
Okay.
One, I just thought, and this was very naive of me, I thought, oh, I'm a gay person that lives in a big city. Cake is all going to be for gay people that live in big cities. That's where I thought the community would be. We regularly get emails if we ship to army and military bases.
Cool.
So it's like, oh, we have struck a nerve. We got an email from someone that said he was in the 70s and he said, I thought this part of my life was over and I've rediscovered myself and my body. So I was like, oh, this is a weird nerve. Like we've struck some nerve. We're like, I don't know who our community is, but they really want to try to have more fun in the bedroom, and I'm here for it.
Beautiful.
Where they actually live is kind of our website and social is rather PG because of compliance and Facebook and all that good stuff. Once you get onto our email list, it becomes not PG. Okay. So we have explicit. We had how to take the perfect nude for dudes.
Nice. Please, everybody, go do that. Because I've been thinking about, because dudes only send me pictures of just their cock. Because I'll collect nudes for art. Yeah. And I'm like, no, show your whole body. But we also don't have a communication system in our society of yes, this is a nice thing you can do.
If you Google how to take the perfect nude, every single thing is good towards females. And no one has guided people with penises into a direction of how to do it.
Yeah.
But we just tapped the community. We said, hey, anyone want to take nudes for us? And this person wrote back. He was like, yes, I'm in. Yeah. And so then he actually wrote the email and did all the pictures.
Beautiful.
So we do tap our community a lot and ask them point blank, what do you want? What can we build for you? Can you test this out? And that's how we build all the products and how we make our content.
Amazing. Okay, so work-wise, what are your boundaries between your professional and personal work? How do you kind of organize that in your head and or life?
So, I mean, this is probably not the right answer. There aren't at the moment. Okay. I from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. and I get back online and work from 8 until like 10.
Yeah.
Then on the weekends, I spend talking about cake and I have family members that are investors. So the boundary thing I should figure out. I just looked into getting a professional coach because I'm like, how do you have boundaries?
Yeah.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Have you figured it out?
No, I call myself an art workaholic. And like, especially since sex entered the picture, it's one of my favorite topics. It's something, I'm a very horny person and I'm always trying to like, also I'm single kind of, I mean, I have a master, but he's married and, you know, like I'm dating and kind of whatever, not really, but theoretically, aspirationally. And so, you know, it's like that thing where when I'm swiping on someone new, trying to bring up my work and all the work that I do, and like also trying to meet people that aren't going to try to pull me away from work or like get uncomfortable, I don't know how to navigate it yet. And then the personal part of just like time, I'm like, well, I don't know. I want to, yeah.
If you are on a dating app and then someone doesn't know who you are and then figures out who you are, does that end up helping or hurting the dating side?
I've only swiped on one person so far that was like a listener fan, and it got weird pretty quickly because he liked me but didn't try to get to know actual me. Was just like, I already know you, and then like didn't engage with me, and so then I didn't have anything to latch on to. And then it mostly scares people away if people don't know who I am, which I'm not that famous, you know. If most people get scared when they're like, oh, you want to talk about sex all the time and publicly, you know, and I'm like, no, I don't say my partner's names, but it makes it so that like secret relationships are like not secret, but like don't ask, don't tells with people that don't want to be outed, I guess, is ideal. But I don't know.
I do think that when someone realizes who you are and it's like, heck yeah, it'll be fantastic.
That's what I'm hoping yeah. for. Yeah.
That's what happened with our investors. Our investors would either be like, okay, thanks so much, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Or it was like, oh, 100% I'm in.
Yeah.
And I feel like that can be extrapolated. Investors and dating are basically the same thing. So
that's what I hear. And I also like really like the idea of having a work partner. And maybe this is like a bad fantasy, whatever bad fantasy, but it's my fantasy. I have total fantasies about like having work, because I'm also like big-hearted, polyamorous, you know, like not like officially structurally, but I'm like, I love everyone. You want to have sex? Okay. You know, like if it's a good idea, I don't see why not.
Yeah.
So I'm all about mixing work and play. And I realize that's not the norm for many people. And so I'm trying to learn from other people.
These are just giving me ideas of, I want to just keep tapping the cake community and ask people of who does kind of love their work, love their partner, and have merged those two things together.
Yes.
How does that work out? Because that's fascinating.
I'm especially when I see couples that are like making it together on OnlyFans or are like doing these things that, or even just artists, like not necessarily in an erotic way, but all of that. Because I also just, for me, the desire is so strong and it fuels. And I feel like anyone I have sex with is a muse. I mean, everyone I talk to about sex actually becomes a creative muse for me. So,
yeah, that makes sense. And then just going back to aspirational dating, I don't know if that's a real term or not, but if it's not, you have to because that's hilarious and also so true.
Yeah, I'm dating, but only aspirationally. I swiped on someone on Field last night. I wrote him a message. He hasn't responded, so we'll see. Ladies don't respond to me as much. We'll see. But I have aspirations. Okay, going back to that, or like expanding on this notion of like work and play and communication, I get really confused by things that are not explicit communication. So like for me, noodling through the boundaries of like, if I'm working with someone, like I now have an editor working with me and she helps me schedule things and I'm constantly checking in to be like, tell me if you're not comfortable. Are you okay? Are you okay? You know, and so I'm curious, do you have explicit like things you can say in the office? Because it sounds like you guys do talk about explicit stuff.
We have to.
Okay.
I won't ever in my life put a product out that I haven't tried and fully believe it's the best thing on the market.
Awesome.
So we have to just have explicit conversations about, did everyone try the product? What are the good parts? What are the bad parts? In the beginning, we did not have anything in writing where you had to sign it. Mm-hmm. We have since getting venture capital dollars. We have a document that says we are a sex company. We talk and acknowledge the presence of sex. We talk and acknowledge the presence of sex toys. We talk and acknowledge the pleasure or discomfort sex toys make us feel. So it has become rather clear. I think it's kind of like, and I've never worked in a doctor's office, but I think it's when you hear, when you're a little kid and you hear someone say penis and you giggle, and then you grow up and you just realize that it's anatomy and there's science behind what makes penises feel good and not, and filled with blood and not, and erect and not, that it becomes rather clinical. And I think clinical is a very unsexy term, but in the professional setting, it does become very clinical. Like, we have a shorthand with everyone that works on the team where we just use anatomy, and then we do talk about feelings and pleasure with that. I think it's also a tone that gets set in the company.
Yes.
Where, like, we just want to hear people's opinions. Like, totally. We don't mind if they are outrageous or not. I'm like, all right, take it in, and then we'll figure out how to digest that and action it.
I love that. And I just wish more of the world were kind of that way, because I have not yet had a person be so uncomfortable that they can't, even though I'm talking to complete strangers, they show up and they're like, and I fucked her in the pussy, and then I really like this. You know, and it's, like you said, it's the tone and it's the inherent agreement that we're not, just because we're saying these explicit things, it doesn't mean we're doing them with each other or using them to uncomfortableize each other.
I think that if you took that notion of just saying, okay, we're going to be comfortable talking about this topic, sex, because we did that in our work setting. If people can do that in their personal lives, because I have this philosophy that every person has 100% of their brain that's devoted to their kinks. I think they only share 10 to 15% with other people. And if you can just establish, okay, you and I are together, we're just going to talk about it. I want to see the other 85%. I don't care how I'll brace myself. I think as soon as you start to have those conversations, that's when your sexual exploration and pleasure really, like, completely changes.
Absolutely. And as a receiver of so many sex stories and personal details, because people have listened to me for almost two seasons, I have 69 episodes per season, so we're coming up on the end of season two.
Nice.
People so often tell me that they have told me details that maybe they've never told any single person in its entirety. And I'm like, holy cow, like, I feel honored. And also, like, for me, it's like, wow, what a shame that nobody else gets to know all of this about you. Because I think it's, like, beautiful and wonderful, and people seem happy when they share and feel seen and known. So that's what I want for all of us.
I agree, and I want that. I think the more your voice can be out there saying, just tell someone that you trust, and the more Kate can say, here are the tools. So if you want to try, every single product we make is designed to try a new experience.
Yeah.
So I think by default, when we put out a nipple play toy, which maybe that's confidential, but oh well, it kind of forces conversation. And there can be a couple sitting on the couch going, did you see this thing on TikTok? I can't believe this is on TikTok. Like, nipple play, what do you think? And someone's like, well, like, I could be into it. Are you into it? Well, maybe.
I don't know. I've never tried it.
Exactly. It starts the conversation. It's fun.
I love that. So for our listeners, I also just want to say HelloCake.com has amazing PDF guides. If you are looking to, say, for example, explore butt stuff, because I know that I've inspired many of you to explore all the parts of yourself. I just love that the guide says everybody has a butt. Like, that's part of it. And it's so beautifully illustrated, so clear, so simple. And I just, like, love that.
I love that you love that. Again, I keep on playing that I'm a gay dude. So, like, of course, I'm going to make something called Tush Kush.
I love it. I tried it, by the way. It's great.
It's a hybrid, so it's,
I love it.
It's all soothing with aloe, but then it's also silicone, so it stays slippery. And when we talk about going into retail mainstream America, everyone said, no, guess what's the number one specialty lubricant on shelf right now? Tush Kush.
Of course.
And it's crazy. Of course. So I said, okay, I think that mainstream America is a lot more willing to try some new things than y'all might think.
Oh, absolutely. The things that I hear from people, straight men who identify as straight men have very creative definitions of their label. And I love that, you know, like, use whatever label you have to use. So, I have a question for you. So, okay, this is your job. I'm curious, how do you define sex worker? Do you identify as one?
No, I don't identify as one. Maybe I should.
This is my question for myself too, because I'm like, wait, am I a sex worker? I don't feel like it, but I do talk about my own stories all the time. I do make money off of that. I'm not available for hire, but like, why aren't we sex workers?
That's a really good question. I wonder if identifying as sex workers would help further normalization of sex workers.
That's what I'm wondering. Who I want to get renamed sexual artists, because they are artists. Or erotic artist.
Oh, I love
that. Yeah, that's one of my life goals, is to just kind of like shift that nomenclature.
I'm writing this down because I think the power of communication is everything.
Yeah.
Is cake allowed to steal sexual artists when we refer to sex workers?
Yeah, I think this is part of a shared cause. And I don't, you have a different audience. I mean, hopefully I grow, but like if you start using it and influence people, like I think sexual artists, or some people prefer erotic artists, but I think sexual artist is approachable and doesn't have the bounce chicka wow wow vibe to it. And it's like, yeah, it's just like, I'm a photography artist. I'm a painter artist. And then I'm just an artist.
I love that. I do think my definition, and maybe it's narrow-minded, I always think of sexual artists as people using their bodies and sexual power physically.
Mm.
And maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I'm maybe wrong too, because the reason this question exists is I've been selling nudes. So I shaved my head in 2016 and then was like, am I a person? Am I going to be attractive to anyone ever again? And part of my process for like feeling into my body, I was wandering around South America after a series of bad jobs and like a whole life redo. And so I just would like set up my camera and take naked pictures of myself, like feeling into my body. And I never conceived of it as a very sexual thing. And eventually I got less and less shy and decided to like share them publicly, and then was like, oh, I do need to make money to support the podcast and my mission to make the world a sexier place. So like, I'll sell these. And then last December, I was talking to another podcaster, and he's like, yeah, if you're selling nudes, you know people are getting off to those, so that's a sex worker. And I was like, well, I think they're fine art. And then I like looked into fine art, and then was like, oh, like, it's just classist definitions that, interesting, you know? And so that's where this noodle comes from. I'm just like, huh.
Anything that'll promote people being able to make money using their sexuality and power, I'm 100% behind.
I'm just like, all right. Yeah, but also naked bodies aren't inherently sexual, and I haven't done anything super erotic yet, so I don't know where the lines are, but I'm not that bothered by them. Switching gears a little bit, I'm curious to hear, what have you learned about social and cultural norms that have either surprised you, that you're super interested in shifting, or maybe even things that you love?
So I think what I've been most surprised at is the willingness, I'm going to use the word desperation, like the desperate need to connect and talk about quote unquote taboo things. So when we do send out an email blast that says, does anyone have an underwear fetish? And we get 450 responses in 2 hours in detail. I mean, people put time and energy to tell us exactly what they have done that's worked, that hasn't worked. It's overwhelming. So I think that the ability for us to connect with people is something I've been surprised about. I might continue. If I could change something that's become a norm, I'm going to go back to my, if you have your kinky brain and you only share 10 or 15% of it, if your goal is to make the world a sexier place, my goal would be to get that 15% to at least 50% by the time I'm leaving this lovely earth. Like, I think that the more people just are honest with themselves, and if they happen to have a partner with their partner, it will only lead to more fun.
Yes.
So like, if you respect yourself and you're doing it consensually, explore. And when we had the idea of starting Cake, we said, do you want to have a better sex life? I forget the exact number. I think it was 94% of people said, yes, I want to have a better sex life. When we said, are you taking any steps to have a better sex life? 18% said yes. So that means there's 70% of the world out there that is saying, yes, I want a better sex life, and they don't know where to start, and they don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
So if we can help them do that, that is a huge, hopefully, cultural shift that we can make, and it will result in people being happier.
Oh, I hope so. The number of people that I hear from who just feel like they can't talk to their partners, I wonder how many of them are in a relationship with each other. That's just what I think every single time.
Oh, that's so fascinating. You're getting emails from people that are sitting on opposite ends of the couch.
What if?
I would guess that that happens more times than not. Maybe not actually coming into our inboxes per se, I think if one person is kind of brave enough to take the first step, it ends up continuing in a positive way.
Yeah. I also have gotten messages from people that are like, I was inspired by your podcast and talked to my partner and they broke up with me, but I'm happier than ever. You know, like, I do think that those shifts bring us to where we need to go or want to go sexually.
Yeah.
Speaking of shifts, have you noticed any cultural shifts either more broadly in the world or inside yourself or even just in your community since you started this work?
I'm going to get entrepreneurial nerdy.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that oftentimes when new generations come into themselves, as Gen Z comes up and they're the most or one of the most sexually open, explorative generations of all time, as that happens, and then the pre-economic world, businesses recognize that and they start to fund that change.
Yeah.
It adds fuel to the fire in a positive way. So I think the level of investment going into companies that are redefining these, I would call them rather toxic ways of defining sexuality.
Yeah.
And are kind of putting their mind where their mouth is. And we say, oh, we're going to have a section of our site that says fuck gender. And we're going to try to go into Walmart.
Yes.
And they're like, great, do it. It's like those two things used to not be the same.
Yeah.
And now the fact that we can do that and have financial backing to make it possible, I think that's a pretty great shift. I think that's the most obvious one I've seen. And then the other one I've seen is, I think there was shame around masturbation where people would have to like feel like they had to sneak away or like lock the bathroom door, or if someone's out grabbing milk, like that's the time to do it. I have seen that that is just seems to be going away, where it's like, I'm going to go jerk off.
Yeah.
And so people are like, oh yeah, cool. I'll be over here. And I think that that's great because it does, I mean, it's scientifically proven to decrease stress, increase pleasure or happiness and all those good things.
Yeah. I had a guest who was telling me that she and her husband call it PRT, personal reflection time. They said, babe, I'm going to go do some personal reflection time. Or if like one of them's feeling it and the other one's not, they're like, could you actually just do some PRT? Like, I love you. Okay, I'll get you later. You know, like, and I think that that vibe is just like amazing.
We made an ad that said it's for solo lotion, it's masturbation cream, that said when he's in the mood and you're not. And people thought it was a joke, but oftentimes my husband will be stressed and be like, Mitch, just you have solo lotion, go, or vice versa. And I think that's like a great thing to have.
Absolutely. Yeah, because also who wants to be having sex when you don't really want to be having sex? Like, I don't want to have sex with someone if they're feeling that way, even if I'm very horny and love them or desire them or whatever.
100%.
I also just want to circle back to what you were saying. I'm so excited. I love that your website literally has a tab that's like, fuck gender. I clicked on that one. Even though I identify as a female person, like, I love that that's there because I don't understand why we market sex so differently. And actually, the reason that I'm like doing these investigations is because when I started working with advertisers and there were certain audio apps were like, our products are for women. And I'm like, are you sure? I'm not going to say the word woman in this ad read. And they're like, no, they're directed toward women. And I'm like, 70% of my listenership is dudes. Like, no, you're wrong. Well, men are more visual. I'm like, sure, science, but like also reality. So I think that the more that we come together and just have these conversations together, I just like love that brands are mirroring that back for us.
And it's nice to have education along the way, because I'll be the first to admit that I needed a lot of education.
Yeah.
And I feel like the brand is, I think forever, will be trying to reflect and keep up with the changing definitions that are shifting because we're actually being representative of how real people actually feel.
Yeah.
So that's been helpful to hear our community will point blank say, this section is wrong. We just did a scrub of our site on the Fuck Gender tab because of issues that our community pointed out. And they're like, that's not actually right anymore. They're like, thank you. Like,
Great. Let
us go back and redo that. And we're rebuilding. We have a quiz where the logic in the quiz couldn't accommodate what it needs to accommodate on how people define. It's a very big undertaking, but we're building from scratch this entire quiz to help people truly identify and find products for themselves.
That's awesome. And another good example of something that cannot happen. Brands can't reflect that unless people are talking about it, unless people are willing to talk about it. So that's a cool evolution.
Yeah.
Okay, fun question for you. If you could wave a magic wand and teach everyone in the world something about sex, what would it be?
I feel like a broken record, it would be to have, I'm going to call it the conversation, mm-hmm. where you reveal. So this is what we've learned a lot about how to get into new types of pleasure and play, is to not go from 0 to 100.
Yeah.
So the or fetish, the overwhelming feedback was, do not pick up a pair of underwear that has been worn to the gym and has sat there for a week. Like, that is going to be too much.
Yeah.
Like, just dip your toe in the water, lightly use, give a sniff. Like, it's very dip your toe in the water.
Yeah.
But that will continue down paths that maybe you'll dip your toe in the water and say, no, that's not for me. Then you can try something else. You can try nipple play. You can try any other, I mean, there's thousands of kinks out there.
Yeah.
But if you just have revealed like a little tiny something to yourself, and like say it out loud, acknowledge it. Like, I do want to try dirty talk in this very specific way, even if it's with yourself,
mm-hmm.
or you have that with your partner. I think that everyone would have more fun. Like, if all the people that hear this interview are like, okay, I'm going to take that 15% of my kinks that my partner knows about and just increase it to 16.
Yeah.
I do think that it would start to help the world positively.
I love that. Even if it's just 1% a month. That's big progress.
Yeah.
You know, however we're measuring that. Science, math.
What's your magic wand moment?
Ooh, that's a good question. I actually hadn't thought about this question for myself. I just wish that I could teach people what it feels like to have your body fully turned on without anxiety. Because that changed my life. I was like, oh my God, is this God? Is this transcendence? Do I believe in stuff now? What's happening? Like, it was such a big deal for me, not even just with a partner, but to feel my whole body on. Yeah, I'm not saying like coherent, tangible words, but I want people to have the experience of fully embracing their own sexual deliciousness, however it looks today. Because I think that's the only way too that I've been able to be present to notice, oh wow, my body actually changes a ton. I can't answer the question, what do you like specifically? Because today is different from 5 minutes ago, different from tomorrow, different from yesterday, maybe, you know?
Yeah. I find that whenever I'm camping, I get super horny. And it's because my stress goes down. It's because I don't have a laptop. I don't have a phone pinging me. I don't have Slack notifications on. I think that anxiety is the worst possible thing for sex life. But it's also the best thing to combat anxiety, at least personally, is to like physically release and like feel ecstasy.
Absolutely.
So that's a good one.
Thanks. Okay. You maybe kind of have already answered this, but if there's a different answer, I'm curious, in as much detail as you're comfortable, how has your sex-related work affected your personal life? So we know you masturbate more. Are there any other things?
I didn't personally use sex toys before. I think when you tell someone that doesn't use sex toys, are you interested in trying a sex toy? They instantly think of a vibrator. And they think of a vagina. And they think of like very limiting sex toys. The amount of things that are out there and the pleasure they can cause is unbelievable. And how expensive they can be is insane.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So I think that that has increased. Oh, and then the other piece is I'm fascinated by the media world of like OnlyFans rise and I'll call it impending fall.
They just tried to take it back today and I'm like, no, fuck you guys, I'm out.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I just got the email and they were like, actually, never mind. And I'm like, no, you already showed me you don't actually care about creators. If this was that easy to fix, you guys, like, I already rebuilt my website, fuck off.
Yeah. So now I've gone deep into the interwebs of different, there's a website called Jerkay. I think it's Jerkay. And it's live mutual masturbation with people with no paywalls, no usernames, no passwords, none of it.
Oh, wow.
And I found so many of these tiny niche little things where I think, oh, if Cake ever goes into the media side, or if we can put our energy and funds behind not only helping people from a product side, but also from a connection side, be that digitally, I think that's fascinating. So I've tried, like, I do product testing. I've tried every app out there, every service out there. That has been eye-opening and, in general, pleasure-filled. Like, it's been fun.
That's awesome. What's the silliest shame-related experience that you've encountered so far through your work?
I'm glad you asked this. I think about this all the time. So we have small, medium, and large condoms. Small condoms are the best-selling condom online, I believe, because retailers don't carry them, so you have to buy them online. Whenever we do photo shoots and we'll say, everyone grab a product, the only box that is not picked up is the small condom box. So inevitably, every time I pick up the small condom box, and I would like to say I don't think twice about it, but I do. My silliest shame is my self-shame, where I'm like, why do I care that I'm holding this box?
Because the rest of the world cares.
Yeah, but I don't think I'll ever publicly say if like that is the condom I use or not, or if I use the medium, or if I use large. Uh-huh. But there's still size shame, which is so fucked up and bad, and I want to reverse it. So our new creative for condoms, I literally just point to the SnugFit condom and I say, small condoms, Cake's top selling condom. And I'm just point blank saying, like, everybody's buying this. So like, why do we have shame around it? Everyone stop.
Amazing. Also, I bought that one. I didn't even really pay attention to the fact that I bought that one. I was just kind of like clicking, and I maybe should have been paying. But so I have my little yellow box, and maybe now I'll do a romantic shoot with it.
And people tell me, sometimes you get convinced against your better judgment. So I was convinced not to call it small, medium, and large, and to call it snug. But
I like snug.
I wish I just called it small, medium, and large.
Okay.
Like, I kind of wish, who the fuck cares? Like, if that's the right fitting condom, it's proven to make you feel better. You actually look larger if you have a proper fitting condom. Yeah. It's like a well-fitted shirt.
Also, I just want to say, though, on the box, it says up to 6.8 inches, and that's not, I don't think that's small.
So a fun fact about condoms that nobody knows is that large condoms, like Magnum condoms and small condoms, the length is pretty similar because you just don't unroll it all the way. And they're still effective. What's different is the girth and the and no one knows that. So when we say small fit condoms up to 6.8 inches long, I think people are like, oh, I'm not that big.
Oh,
and so
wow.
I've been trying to say, this is all too confidential, but whatever, we're launching on Amazon. And I'm making us say, like, snug the condoms from 2 to 6.8 inches long. So people understand that you just don't unroll them all the way.
Okay. In that case, I actually think snug too is a great accurate word. Because also different people I've been with have liked different tightnesses.
It is more accurate. Also, large fit condoms are good for uncircumcised penises because the tapering is bigger at the top and you just don't unroll them all the way.
Ugh, so many good things to know. I love learning these things.
I'm learning them in real time every day.
Okay, as we wrap up, I would just like to hear, how do you hope your work makes the world a sexier place?
This is going to be very specific.
Great.
I'm hoping someone is walking down an aisle one day and isn't feeling the best. It's just like stressed out about insert anything that stresses us out. And like looks to their left and sees something and is like, wait, is that really what I think it is? And takes a Cake product off of the shelf and it makes them smile and they bring it home and it does much more than make them smile.
Yeah.
And then you have that moment where the stress is gone and they're just present with their body and just feel fucking fantastic. That would be my final answer.
Beautiful. Okay, lastly, this is just a question for me. Theoretically, if someone was in the process of raising funds eventually to create a mobile dungeon, or to not scare vanilla people, a mobile personal creativity exploration studio, gotta find a better name, and was considering becoming a professional dominatrix so that she could ethically man the helm, what advice would you give this person?
Okay, well, this can stay on the record. Talk to me, because I think a brand sponsorship could fund it. I think, realistically, I do not think institutional investment, like venture capital or private equity dollars, is feasible. I don't think the world is there yet.
Yeah, everybody seems to agree so far.
From self-funding, like a Kickstarter-esque campaign.
Or perhaps a redone website in the structure of OnlyFans and Patreon.
Yes, that would be fantastic. But I think what could be interesting is doing a brand partnership where you get cake to pay for it, and then you show up at Pride festivals.
Yeah.
So cake has access to it 10 days out of the year, and then you have it all of the rest. I think there could be a brand partnership world there. Or what we have found is our initial funding round, we went to individuals.
Mm-hmm.
We did happen to go to a lot of like queer, wealthy individuals,
yeah,
which are just a lot more willing to be liberal with where they fund. And that could be an interesting avenue into.
Yeah, I feel like if I talk to the Silicon Valley Burning Man people, I'll be like, hey.
I was going to say, just build it and bring it to Burning Man. Build like a small version and then tell people like, oh, do you have your, get a square and say, do you have your credit card? You can swipe it right now while they're all like messed up too. And they're like, what? I spent $10,000 yesterday? That'd be great. Maybe that's not the right way to start a business. Not the most ethical.
I think Burning Man doesn't let you do transactions or something like that. I think you also don't have service. I've never been. Maybe someday. We'll see.
I don't know.
Do you have any other sex at work thoughts that you'd like to share?
We have one sale a year that's 30% off. If you want, I can create a custom code, which is sex at work. And then customers will get 30% off. And we'll do, here, my co-founder will yell at me after this. And then we'll do 10% of that money. I will send directly to you and we'll be the first investor.
You would be the first one. Oh my God.
So if people buy cake, it's hellocake.com.
Yeah.
They'll get 30% off and then 10% of it will go to you.
Fuck yeah. Lovers. Go lube all your parts and go play with all the things and buy all the sizes of condoms because you never know what lover might enter your life. Mitch, thank you so much for joining us on Sex at Work and thank you for the sexy work that you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Lovers, that is this week's episode of Sex at Work. And reminder, if you want 30% off your next cake order and want to support the future Mission 69 Playship road trip, visit HelloCake.com and use the code SEXATWORK to get 30% off. And remember, everything you order in the first month will contribute to our Playship Fund for Mission 69. Again, HelloCake.com and use the code SEXATWORK. Please remember to subscribe on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts and be a lover who makes the world a sexier place by leaving us 5 stars and or a thumbs up and a nice comment wherever you can. If you want to hear personal sex stories from lovers all around the world, go subscribe and listen to Sex Stories wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to support Mission 69 directly and listen to more of my personal details, questions, or see my portraits, visit yolee.com/lover. And if you have a great work-related sex story that you want to share as a bonus episode, email me yo@sexstoriespodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram @sexstoriespod and follow me @yolee. Sex at Work is a creation by me, Wildly, and editing is done by the incredible Kimberly Loftus. Remember to keep asking yourself, what would make sex fun today? And see if you're ready to share 1% more about yourself with your next lover this week. And as always, please keep making and sharing sex stories. Lovers, that is our show. If you know a friend who would like this episode, please take a second to share it with them now. 52 Days of Play is underway, and there are so many fun ways to support and shape this next year of content. For example, if you would like private, behind-the-scenes audio updates that include my sex stories, fantasies, work noodles, plus virtual co-working sessions, and a place to share your wins and wishes out loud Monday through Friday during the 52 Days of Play, join me on Patreon @patreon.com/yolee. For the video versions of these private shares, along with exclusive daily live voyeur cam access where you can spy on me while I create, as well as interactive lives Monday through Friday, plus a mix of exclusive early access and behind-the-scenes photo and video shares during my 52 days of slutty creations, join me on OnlyFans @onlyfans.com/yolee. Or, to just see teases and unlock one by one, join me on my free OnlyFans page, onlyfans.com/yofree. For private messages, calls, or video, you can also find me on sexpanther.com/yo. If you're not into the sexy stuff, you might want to sponsor a segment. Let me dedicate a daily wiggle, masturbation meditation, or a solo research episode to you, your boo, or your brand. You pick the topic or noodle and co-create with me. Details are on my website, yolee.com/52. I am also super into parallel play. Tell me. What does your hot person spring into summer look like right now? I'd love to hear what player pleasure you are noticing, practicing, or growing, or you can always answer one of my questions, ask me one of your own, or share a story via wiley.com/share. I especially love voice memos, but emails I can read on update episodes are also great. I would also love to know, what adult creator would you like to see me play with during my 52 days of play? Tell me so that I can send them an invitation by emailing xstoriespodcast@gmail.com. And I am accepting new photography clients now until the end of June. Details about how you can work with me are all on my website, wiley.com, and the link is in the description below. And sexstoriespodcast.com will always take you straight to the podcast landing page, or I guess I should say directly, because nothing I do is really straight. For those of you who don't know, X Stories is a completely independent creation. I fund the production of this podcast through my work as a content creator, photographer, and sex worker, and I appreciate each and every one of you that understands that your contribution to my work, whether it's Patreon, OnlyFans, or creative session, photo shoot, voice memo, or written story for me to share, it is incredibly meaningful to me. My work is what lights me up in life. And my goal is to continue to create things that are also meaningful to you. So hearing from you helps me shape what I do. And when I don't hear from you, I feel like I'm just speaking into the void. So if you love this podcast and want it to continue, please let me know by leaving us up to 5 stars on Apple and Spotify. And for my birthday, I would love a thoughtful review on Apple Podcasts that lets others know why you love listening to Sex Stories. I am looking forward to getting to know more of you and going deeper during those 52 days of play. Remember, if you want to work or play with me, my website, wiley.com, is where you can find details of all that I do. Thank you for listening. Thank you for spreading ripples of love. Please take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Remember to hydrate, wiggle, and breathe. And may you be brave enough to share yourselves and your stories in the name of lovely human connection.